Bros.
Football.
Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can the white guys use the term fam?
Oh yes, we are back at it again. Fantasy football. Keith Irizarry, Alex Hardy, and John Salas. We are dancing our way into your hearts, as always. Headlines galore, but before we get to those, let's meet your headliners. Alex Hardy, John Salas, what's up, fellas?
You say we, but the only guy who deserves the credit for dancing is my man, John Salas.
You know, just always feeling the beat. We're a day closer to football, everyone. Get ready and go Rams.
Thank goodness for the video component to these, right? Just so I can see y'all.
Yeah, I do enjoy the fact that we now can see John dancing and doing this weird things. I know you guys out there listening right now don't see it, but just know that that bald-headed beauty is always bona fide and, yes, beautiful. With that being said, fellas, let's get into our headlines. And Alvin Kamara is clearly headline number one in the NFL world and the fantasy football world. Unexcused absence appears to be contract-related. Alex, how scared are you now of drafting Kamara in the, I don't know, top five picks?
I'll still keep him in the top five. I'm concerned as a Alvin Kamara owner, very concerned, but I've read conflicting reports and so much noise being pumped into this storyline. Kamara could return to practice. He may hold out until he has the new contract. The latest NFL CBA basically puts a hold to a Melvin Gordon situation or a Zeke Elliott situation like we had last year. Players give up a lot more if they're not available for week one. I expect to see Alvin Kamara out there. I'm more looking towards Latavius Murray than I am concerned about Alvin Kamara.
I'm a little worried only because, you know, I just have to always be that person that's going to play devil's advocate. We don't know how long the season can go. So if Alvin Kamara's not there early, you got to bench him. I'm worried. But if we're going to play the long game, expecting the season to go the whole way, he's a guy you need to keep in that lineup because he's going to put up the points for you to take you to the promised land.
The Saints are clearly in a win-now mode with a 41-year-old quarterback. And
oh,
you look at
baby
Kamara, and again, the numbers that Kamara has, 1,330 all-purpose yards with six touchdowns last season, albeit did get a little banged up at times. And then you go to Lat Murray, and Alex, you mentioned him. I look at it, and I wrote it on my notes, necessity as a handcuff, and potentially just a guy that you might want to draft in general. Two starts last year for Lat Murray, 300 total yards, a little bit over that number, actually, and four touchdowns. So I think that, Alex, you teased it. Lat Murray now becomes a guy that you may want to draft, even if you're not handcuffed.
We saw him start two full games and assume the whole backfield for the New Orleans Saints. And so we know what he's capable of in case any of these guys are out. And that's why we talk about Tony Pollard and Alex Mattison. But if I say we move up Latavius Murray, who are the other running backs that he's now passing over? I'll mention a couple of other handcuffs. With the latest news to Kamara, is Lat Murray your favorite handcuff back that you're drafting along the likes of Marlon Mack, Matt Breida, Zach Moss, Duke Johnson, Keith?
The Marlon Mack one I find very intriguing because everyone's fallen in love with Jonathan Taylor, and I think he's a really good running back, but I think we're going to see a little bit more of a 50-50 split there until one of them grabs the reins, and I'm not 100% sold that it will be Taylor. I'd like to wait on that one, so a little pause. Zach Moss, we talked about it, a little bit more of a touchdown vulture. We'll see how that plays out with Singletary. So Lat Murray probably falls just behind those two.
The touchdown vulture in Buffalo is one Josh Allen.
I knew you were going to say that. I could read your mind.
Of course Josh Allen is your goal line running back. He's 6'6", 250 pounds. The Bills are fine. It's not his passing that makes him a fantasy commodity. It's the rushing TDs.
All right. You and Josh Allen, Alex, are the same size, aren't you?
He's got 50 pounds on me.
I'm going to hit that weight room.
Wasn't sure how the quarantine treated you. Just saying. Anyway.
Wow.
We're going to move on to Leonard Fournette. As we are taping this, Leonard Fournette appears to be signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Means that he is going to be there with that awesome offense and that glorious Tom Brady. With all of that being said, Leonard Fournette, now a Buccaneer, where are you drafting him?
Just real quick, if you've already drafted and took Ronald Jones like me, RIP, I'm feeling it with you right now. The sadness is real. And if you haven't drafted yet, second round Leonard Fournette with Tom Brady in that offense, you get him as soon as possible. Hey, if you want to get risky and get him late in the first round, by all means, do it. Leonard Fournette, I love this move with Tampa Bay. Holy moly, TB12, see you in the Super Bowl again.
Wow.
I don't hate that. If Leonard Fournette goes into the second round of drafts for you, how do you rate Tom Brady's weapons? Rank the Buccaneers' weapons for me.
Okay. Godwin, Fournette, Evans.
I still go Godwin, Evans, and Gronk and Fournette are pretty close there too.
Oh man,
I am not so enamored with Leonard Fournette. His yards per carry continues to go down. He hasn't proven that he is a great teammate, which means often he finds himself in hot water. I think there's a reason why the Jaguars move on. It's not just money related. That being said, he's now trying to make himself relevant again and get that next payday. So he should be on his best behavior, and Fournette should still put up some good numbers, but I'm not falling in love. Just for frame of reference, as we taped this on a Wednesday night, Tuesday night, I did a draft, and Fournette was taken in a 14-team draft in the 9th round. I had him queued up. I was getting him on the next pick, and actually, to be fair, it was my son, Austin, was doing the draft, and I was just sitting next to him. He was queued up, and he was going to be the next pick, and someone sniped us.
Well, whoever sniped you is getting a great RB2, and knowing that Austin was conducting the draft, that team should do just fine this year. Be more worried if that's one of your teams. Yeah, without a doubt.
And the one thing real quick, sorry, if you were on the fence about Leonard Fournette still, go back, rewind this, and listen to what Keith said. He's trying to redo himself, ladies and gentlemen. He's gonna be the best he can be. It's just like a contract year. Get him now.
Okay, I'm glad we go back to Keith, because I think some of the issues Leonard Fournette had were the fact that he was playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not so much the organization, but the player is one of the league's most respected, and just with their NFC South rival New Orleans Saints, with Tom Brady under center, they're in win-now mode. We could see the best out of Leonard Fournette. He's still not a commodity in PPR leagues, but we could be talking about the running back leading the NFL in touchdowns this year.
Now we're going to see what it does mean ultimately for a guy like Ronald Jones. Keyshawn Vaughn was someone that a lot of people really thought had an opportunity to be something special this year. Now it is a very crowded backfield for Tampa Bay. Miles Sanders, another headline this week. A hamstring doesn't seem to be too serious. His ADP is typically around 11th amongst running backs, and I find that to be really good value despite the fact that that offensive line is starting to be battered.
I hesitate with Miles Sanders more than I used to, but when the sum of the parts is whole, when everybody is healthy and on the football field, losing 40% of their offensive line before the week one is critical. It's huge. But if they can put all the pieces together, Miles Sanders still has the workload and the opportunity to be a league winner for you, picking at the end of the first round, beginning of the second round.
Other headlines surrounding running back Joe Mixon signs a 4-year extension. Not too much change there in the fantasy world. You still find him pretty decent value. But this one I thought was pretty interesting. DeAndre Swift with a leg injury. Now, it's not something that should affect him long term, but it's going to cost him snaps right now, which means as I look at it, John, I think it's an uptick for Kerryon Johnson, who is being drafted very low, if not drafted at all. Matchups against the Bears, who were 17th against the run last season, against the Packers, who were really good against the pass, but not that good against the run last year as well, in week one and week two. It intrigues me, Kerryon Johnson.
I'll say one thing. Detroit is on one of my don't draft player teams unless you're a Kenny Golladay or Marvin Jones. So
yeah, I'll wait on both.
John does typically, I don't know if you knew that, Alex, he will just have a specific team that he'll just X out that team and say, no, thank you. I don't want a player from that team. That's a big John Salas thing.
For me, that's the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, so no shares of Tua this year. All right, so guys, we had our own draft that we are a part of, second year of this draft, and it's a keeper league, so adjust accordingly to what you're hearing from us. But I just want to throw it out there. It's a Yahoo league. I was the best regular season team last year through 11 weeks. Absolutely.
Keith came in second.
I was absolutely dominating. I was up by over 100 points in the next person and then just faltered.
So lost when it mattered.
With that being said, Yahoo now believes that I will be 13-0 this year after keeping Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, Lamar Jackson, getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and then Kenny Galladay and Allen Robinson. That sounds like a good team to me.
Yeah, the keeper league, we had we had most of our teams with keeping first round picks. So, for example, I kept Alvin Kamara, which is why I was more positive about him earlier in the podcast. And John got to keep Michael Thomas, and that was his first round selection.
Well, the Yahoo little draft recap is a lie because remember it's a keeper league. So, ladies and gentlemen, I had the fourth overall pick. If you thought, and Yahoo apparently thought this, this is how dumb the recap is, they thought I took David Johnson with the fourth overall pick. So it said I'm going to have a horrible draft and a horrible team, even though I have Michael Thomas, Josh Jacobs, and Chris Godwin as my keepers. And for fun, I just do Russell Wilson in there as my QB.
All right, gentlemen, enough of this self-serving stuff. We got to give you guys some more information.
I'm going to win this year.
No, you're not.
Okay, info's good. Yeah. I can move on.
You won't.
Let's do it. What do you got, Keith?
Here's a topic I find very interesting. Sleepers that could change your season. And these are people that typically we're drafting anywhere from round 7 to later and don't include quarterbacks on this one. I'm throwing out Deontay Johnson, finishes wide receiver 43 with what I'm calling is trash at QB last year. 18% target
share. Hey, that's a duck.
Last year. Hey, there you go. But was wide receiver 12 in his final four games of the season. I had fallen in love with Brandon Ayuk this offseason as well, but now he's dealing with some injuries. So I would definitely be leery of Brandon. But Deontay Johnson, if you are someone who goes running back heavy, Johnson will be there for you round 7 or later. Go get him.
All right. So for me, Sony Michel.
Really?
So, yes.
Speak on it.
So, it's not fancy. It's not fancy because remember we got James White there. So for your PPR league, it's not a fancy choice, but I like it because look, he gets over 200 rushes the 2 years he's played. He's almost there to 1,000 yards. If you watch Patriot games, you know it's frustrating. He can't get in the end zone. But 6 touchdowns 1 year, 7 touchdowns the other year. I think this is where he breaks out with Cam Newton under center. There's going to be more movement on that field, not Tom Brady just sitting back and throwing. I think it's going to create more space. He's going to get into 1,000 yards, double-digit rushing touchdowns. Sony Michel could win you as a flex player, but not as a starting running back. Get other guys that will win you leagues early, but if Sony's sitting there, slide him in as a flex. He's still going to get the touches, the yards, and he will get the touchdowns this season.
I'll push back here, John, and I say this because
you're a Patriots fan, so go.
I'm a Patriots fan, but I'm also a fan of making Damian Harris my last pick in every league that I'm participating in this year. So as much as I am a Patriots fan, I'm as much of adding who will be the RB1 for the New England Patriots available in the 14th round. He's been sliding up draft boards a little bit, so I'm just pushing back on his stock. And I'm not even going to call him a league winner. What troubles me about both Sony Michel and Damian Harris is the presence of Cam Newton. And he's 31 years old, and he's not the same type of player, but he's still the same stature. I'm essentially making the same argument for Cam Newton. I also weigh less than Cam Newton. I don't see the touchdown potential. Nor do I see the type of game scripts the Patriots had with Tom Brady where Sony Michel would be able to operate on 1st and 10. The Patriots' offense just doesn't have the same punch, even with Cam Newton. There just aren't going to be enough, as many opportunities as we used to see for Sony Michel. And if they didn't use a second-round pick on Damian Harris, they're going to have to let go of him pretty soon. So I really can't pick one Patriots running back, which is how things used to be. So it's a bit of a minefield, plus the presence of James White as well. So the one guy that I will mention, because I had Ronald Jones written down at one point during the week as a sleeper, but obviously the presence of Leonard Fournette changes those things. Anthony Miller, I think, is my guy. When Taylor Gabriel was off the field for the Chicago Bears last year, 4-week stretch towards the end of the year, Miller was targeted at least six times in each of those games, averaged seven catches, went over 100 yards for those 2 weeks. Taylor Gabriel was cut from the Chicago Bears, is still a free agent, isn't on a team anymore, and Miller emerges as a wide receiver two for the Chicago Bears behind Allen Robinson. You can get Anthony Miller extremely late between rounds 12 and 14, and I really think he has the upside to get back to his eight touchdowns he had in his rookie season. I really like Anthony Miller.
That's the positive. Let's go to the negative now. Calling this one, players being drafted too high based off their ADP and basically giving us pause on whether we would draft them. I'll kick it off. DJ Moore is the top of my list. I've seen him go anywhere from wide receiver 9 down to wide receiver 14. And here's the thing. I think that DJ Moore is really talented. You look at the 135 targets last year, the 87 catches, all of that is glorious. And all of that was done with not much at QB. And Teddy Bridgewater is better at QB than anybody that he played with last year, DJ Moore. That being said, DJ Moore needs to reinvigorate himself and become a Michael Thomas clone, which means catch shorter passes. And I don't know if DJ can do that because Teddy only throws deep balls 7% of the time. So I think we'll see a little regression from DJ Moore, unfortunately.
I like DJ Moore. I agree with you, and as aggressive as we think Joe Brady and Matt Rhule can be, they still won't pass the football as much as Norv and Scott Turner were when they were running Ron Rivera's offense. So I can understand that so much changed in this particular offseason would mean that DJ Moore gets off to a slow start. I'll go with a veteran here personally, and we're talking about a complete change this offseason. Once again, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're the team du jour. They've been dominating each of our segments. I really am cooling off on Mike Evans and don't see him as the same type of production-based wide receiver with Tom Brady as he was with Jameis Winston. All of the targets, in his six-year NFL career, he's had at least 120 targets and converted at about 70% of those. He needs to have the football thrown him at least 130 times to produce a 1,000-yard season. Jameis Winston's willing to throw to Mike Evans 13 times a game. I just don't see Tom Brady doing that. I'm actually picking Chris Godwin above Mike Evans in all formats. I think Godwin has more upside for catches, yards, and touchdowns over Evans.
To follow up on that one, and I agree with you, by the way, about Mike Evans, I am a little leery of Chris Godwin as well. I think that, again, the word is regression. And the reason why I always say regression is that last year I went into the season saying that Patrick Mahomes might see regression.
Of course.
This year I go into the season saying Lamar Jackson might see regression. Doesn't mean, and make sure you guys don't try to screw these words up, everybody out there, doesn't mean that we suddenly think don't draft this guy or that they're going to have a horrible season. It's just that don't expect the numbers from last year. And Godwin to me is a guy that I don't think he reaches his numbers from last year, wide receiver 5 or wide receiver 6, depending on what your scoring was, mostly because Tampa Bay has so many weapons around and they're going to go 12 personnel. And I think his target share will not be close to 22%.
They're not going to turn the football over as much. They're going to run more plays. They're going to run shorter plays. I think that all trends towards Godwin and Leonard Fournette compared to Mike Evans and even Gronkowski.
So for mine, a little surprising here, I'm going to go AJ Brown. Last season, 84 targets, 52 receptions, 1,051 receiving yards with 8 touchdowns. I'm a big believer of the sophomore slump. Now that he's had a full season, teams are going to start covering him more, and I think he's going to get more double covered. I mean, he already was towards the end, but it's going to hype up a little bit more, and Ryan Tannehill going to be in shambles, and I don't know. I don't like it. No shares of AJ Brown. I would wait on him a little bit.
I'll throw it out. I agree with you a little bit, but I will say that again, if you believe in target share, and I do believe in target share from week 9 to week 17, his target share, once he had Ryan Tannehill as his full-time guy, then you were talking about a guy getting about 24% of the target share. Tennessee didn't add much to help out with that offense as well. Regular targets, 84. That's low. Typically, that's low. I think that his targets actually go up. And if his targets go up, he'll get more than 52 catches, AJ Brown. And I believe that you get a guy that will kind of reach his ADP. I think it works.
I'm a little more optimistic. They're not going to be leading in as many games as they were in that second half of the season last year. So that'll lead to more targets for AJ Brown.
Somebody that we always want to get extra targets, extra target share is John Salas. As we continue to wind down this episode of the Fantasy Football Podcast, in episode 4, guys, we're going to be looking at offensive lines, difference makers. Alex has a deep tight end class that he would love to talk about. And then
John will help us.
John will help us with last minute roster adjustments for week number 1 of the season. If you believe in what John says, you'll love those. If you don't worry. Alex and I will be here as well to clarify and make sure that everything's actually said correctly.
Last minute roster adjustments is where I win leagues. 1 to 5 minutes before kickoff is when I really make the moves, and that is when I'm at my best. Whew. So stay tuned for next week.
Lightning fingers. Can you believe it, guys? Our next week, we're going to be previewing week 1.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go, boys. Oh, yeah. I'm flexing.
And could you believe that we're probably going to be talking about what Jaguar running back might you actually want in your starting lineup? Raquel Armstead, Chris Thompson, Divine Ozogbi. I don't know. One of these guys might be your guy. By the way, download the Fantasy Football Podcast. We're available in the iTunes Store, Spotify, wherever else you can get your podcast. You make sure to check out our next episode as well. We're getting you ready for week 1 of the NFL season. And John, what time is it? What day is it?
Oh, no.
It's the last Friday before we can say football season is back. So it's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. I gotta whip out my football jersey because it's almost time for the season. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Keep your fantasy football's losing week 1.
Partying, yeah.
Hey.